You are now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are listening to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's everybody feeling out there? Yeah, man, everything's cool here on my side. Also, listen, before we get started with today's show, I want to send a big shout out to my boy Josh Powell, NBA player, Riverdale alumni. He's putting together a Riverdale versus North Clayton alumni basketball game. It's to help the community, it's to try to help keep kids off the streets, out of trouble, and he's doing a lot for the South Side, man. So if you get a chance, tap into the homie Josh Powell. Come out to the game. The game is actually Sunday at about 2:30. So if you get a chance, come out. It's at Riverdale High School. Come out and show your support, man. It's $10. You know, I don't think there'll be $10 at the door. I think you have to pre-order your tickets. So all you got to do is go to my story, and I have the QR code up for you to order the ticket. So, again, big salute to Josh Powell to do a Riverdale versus North Clayton. Because, you know, we always going back and forth with each other talking about woulda, coulda, shouldas and all this. And I woulda played and did this to y'all. Comparing schools, comparing generations. And let's get together and do it peacefully. You know, for a good cause. So, once again, check out my story at the.commissioner.gordon on Instagram and Commissioner Gordon Robinson on Facebook. It'll be up there. All you got to do is hit the QR code, get your ticket, and then get in the building, man. It's going to be a lot of fun, all right? Yeah. So speaking of a lot of fun, this past Monday, we had a lot of fun watching UGA trample TCU for the national championship. Congratulations to UGA for winning back-to-back championships, national championships. And I know you've heard it all week, so I'm not going to go that deep into it, but it's really it really put on display the different talent levels at the different conferences. So it really put that on display, like, for everyone who's been clamoring for this 12-team playoff, everybody who's been clamoring for a lot of these smaller schools or Cincinnati or Toledo or Tulane or somebody to get into a Final Four because they were undefeated. This shows you that TCU is a hell of a school. Like, it's a relevant school. They play football. They play damn good football. But then when you run up against the juggernaut that is the Georgia Bulldogs, it showed you that they were too big, too fast, too deep. And, you know, I hate to be one of those guys like, that's the SEC football. But that's SEC football. You know, where a 285-pound defensive end is just as fast as your 225-pound running back. You know, you can't run away from him. And then when he get a hold of you, you can't just toss him off. And that's just what happened a lot of times. TCU tried a lot of stuff to the outside. They tried to do a bunch of different things, but they just couldn't. They weren't fast enough to the corner. It wasn't like Michigan, where Michigan only has a couple fast guys. Everybody's on Georgia's defense is a damn fast guy. I feel like everybody on Georgia defense has played running back some point in time in their damn life. You know what I'm saying? They done played running back some point in time in their life. You just happen to blow up to 315 pounds. But you can still move. And so, congratulations, man, again to UGA. I will be out in Athens Saturday, bright and early, as we get prepared for the parade. If you're there, stop by Grindhouse Killer Burgers on South Lumpkin Street. I'll be there. Host of others from the station where I work will be there. DJ Jelly will be there. He'll be turning everybody up, and we'll be having a good time, man. So if you're out there, come by, say what's up to your boy, and congratulations again to the UGA Bulldogs. I didn't see this for Stetson Bennett. There's been so many other quarterbacks that UGA has had that I thought would probably win championships, but your boy Stetson got it done. Salute to the Bulldogs once again. Hey, man, listen, I'm going to get back on my, I told y'all, my bad. Reese, don't worry about pulling up the sounder. We won't even do it for this one. We'll get back into it in a minute, but I'm going to tell y'all, I told y'all. And you're going to be like, what the hell you told us this time? If you listen to the show, if you attended the show out at Blends 2 over in Hapeville on Monday nights, if you attended, if you tuned in and you listened here, you would know that I am not the biggest fan of small QBs. I went back and forth with a bunch of people about Tua. I went back and forth with a bunch of people about Kyler Murray. I'm not a fan of the small QB. When you look at it, I mean, and even to say the same, like, I won't put Lamar Jackson as a small QB, but technically he's not the biggest. He's not, you know, a six. He's not a 6'5", 230. You know, he's not a Justin Fields size. He's not a Justin Herbert size. He's not a Big Ben Roethlisberger. He's not one of those guys. He's a smaller, lighter frame guy. He's picked up some bulk, but he's still a small quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I told y'all I'm not a fan. And, like, when Miami started the season off and they were on fire and Tua was looking great, man, and everybody was telling, I told you, man, you got to give Tua this. You got to give him some time. All this, and, you know, everything was going well. And I had my bad moment where I showed up at Blends and was like, yo, I got to give it to y'all. Tua looks great. And then my fears kicked in. He got out there. He bumped his head on the ground, got dazed, came back out. Happened again, just not too long ago. And he's still, here they are, Miami's going to the playoffs, and he still can't play due to concussions protocol. He hasn't been cleared to play. And not because of that first initial concussion, but there's rumors that Tua has had 3 concussions at least this season. This season, not in his career, this season. So when we go through it, not only am I saying I understand why Tua shouldn't be playing in the playoffs, I'm saying I think Tua needs to shut it down altogether. You know, life is bigger than football. He has an entire life ahead of him. I don't know if he has children. If he doesn't, I'm sure he'd like a family. You go out here and you have to live your life. Football is something that was a part of your life. It can't be your life. I'm saying Tua needs to walk away from the game. You can commentate. You can coach. You can do all sorts of things if you want to be around the game of football. But to say that you've had 3 concussions this season, and here we are, you've been out for a couple weeks already, and they're not clearing you to play a playoff game, that speaks volumes. You think Miami don't want to put their best foot forward in a playoff game? So, yeah, I hate to say I told you on Tua, but I told you, like, this would happen. I don't like him. Same for Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray came out here and got hurt because that's what he does. At 5'10", 205 pounds, what do you think is going to happen to that quarterback? He's going to be injured at the end of the season. It always seems to come down to the end of the season, and he's always seeming to be hurt. And you have to expect that. Like, I don't understand what part of the math doesn't add up for a lot of people when I say I don't like small quarterbacks, because this is the result. And Kyler Murray, it all started with him because it seems like he's not even like the smartest QB in the world. They signed him to a big time contract and added a clause where he has to study the playbook. They put a timer on his on his iPad or on his tablet, so they know how much you study in the plays. And in the end, it really didn't matter because physically he couldn't hold up. So no matter what, I've been intending to go back and watch the behind the scenes, the show on HBO, Hard Knocks. I've been meaning to go back and watch the in-season Hard Knocks because whatever it is around Kyler Murray, man, it's like he's a schlep rock, he's unlucky. Kyler Murray single-handedly got that whole damn staff out of football this year. The GM up and quit, just said, to hell with it, man, I'm done. Coach Cliff Kingsbury got fired. You know what I'm saying? Like every this whole thing is, and it's centered around Kyler Murray. I'm sure they would love to get rid of Kyler Murray, but they just signed this damn contract, and I'm sure so many penalties if you try to trade him. They probably has a no trade clause. It's probably some other shit out there that if you try to move him, then you'd have to pay part of the majority of the salary. All of that stuff to where basically, long story short, is they had to get rid of everybody and keep Kyler Murray, and they're going to have to bring in somebody who has another coaching style tailored for Kyler Murray because he can't do what these bigger quarterbacks can do. He can't see down the field. That's why it was perfect for him in Cliff Kingsbury's system. Cliff Kingsbury moved the pocket around so to give Kyler a straight shot to visibly be able to see the lanes and the throwing windows and get it to your receivers downfield. Someone else is going to have to do that. Because if they coach him like a regular quarterback, he's going to have so many turnovers that it's going to be ridiculous because he can't see over the linemen. So, once again, though, I told you I did not like Kyler Murray. Y'all were all over Kyler Murray telling me how great he is. And I wasn't buying it. I'm still not buying it. And like I said, he went out there and got the whole damn staff in one way or another up out the paint. And everybody's gone. So once again, I told y'all on the Kyler Murray. In the news of another small quarterback, he's not a small quarterback in the way that we think a small quarterback, but he's a small quarterback. Russell Wilson, I'll even lump him into this. Russell Wilson has had a great career, but we started to see the decline a long time ago. And I think we didn't know that we were watching the decline a long time ago because Pete Carroll was taking plays out of Russ's hands. You know what I'm saying? He was calling the plays and he was leaning more towards the running game. And then Russell Wilson started this let Russ cook whole campaign. And they showed you that they were going to let Russ cook a little bit. And then Russ was stanking it up. The kitchen wasn't smelling too hot. So they started the whole campaign, let Russ cook. He doesn't look good. They decide to move him. He goes to Denver, thinking that he's going to have a Peyton Manning-esque type run because they seemingly have all that you want. They got a decent defense. They got good receivers. You got Jerry Jeudy. You got running backs. You got whatever you need. You got all the ingredients for your meal if we're going to let Russ cook. And the coach didn't even last the entire season. The coach got fired. And once again, the only reason why they probably are not moving Russ is because they signed Russ to an extension. But what we're looking at is Russ has probably hit that wall, man. Russ is 5'11", 215 pounds. And has taken a number of sacks. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but he's taken a huge amount of hits to where his body, I think he's physically unable to do some of the things that we were used to him doing. some of the throws we were used to him making, some of the scrambles and getting breaking away out of tackles that we were used to seeing. I think we'll see flashes of it here and there. And that's why people will say, oh, you'll hear the commentators, you'll hear all the talking heads saying, Russ isn't washed, Russ not finished. But that's because they just see the flash. You know what I'm saying? They just see the every now and again and say, oh, look at that. You see that? He still got it. You saw the way he put that on the rope? You saw how he led the receiver out there? You saw how he broke away from that defender? And you'll see the flash, but technically, man, we looking at the end of Russell Wilson. He went to Denver to get paid. Congratulations to him on getting that check, but turn out the lights in the kitchen because Russ can't cook no damn more. I also want to talk about this whole Lamar Jackson thing, bro. Before we get into the playoffs, as you know, the Ravens are set to play the Cincinnati Bengals coming up in the playoffs, and everybody's making this stink about Lamar Jackson, whether he could play, whether he should play, whether he's capable of playing, whether he can play, whether he... All of this stuff, it's all the mumble going around. And one, I will say this, from what I understand, he's injured his PCL. And that's, you know, it's a knee ligament. So whatever, whether it's ACL, MCL, PCL, it's restricting or it's limiting your movement. Lamar Jackson is a guy who relies on movement. And with Lamar Jackson not having one of these Kyler Murray, Pat Mahomes type contracts, and he's at the end of the contract and technically in the middle of negotiating. If he goes out here, let's just say scenario one, let's say he thugs it out. He's hurt, but he'll give it the old college try because he'll lay it all on the line for his team and his teammates. And he goes out there injured and looks subpar. Couple turnovers, not pulling away from the defenders. Can't really plant his foot, so he makes some bad throws. And he looks terrible on the playoff stage. He's already been receiving criticism in terms of how he performs in the playoffs. And now you want him to go out here injured with no contract and try to perform and go above and beyond just because of the team. Nah, I ain't playing either, dog. I ain't going for it. You want me to play? Y'all need to sign the contract. Because another scenario, he's injured. And this is what they're saying. They're still saying he's injured. And I believe from what they see, if he's injured the way that they are saying, it's one of those injuries where he could probably suit up. Like if he had a guaranteed contract, let's say he was out here, he had just signed at the beginning of the season, $275 million contract. Let's say he had $225 of it guaranteed. If he had $225 million guaranteed, I'm sure he'd be out here playing for the Baltimore Ravens, giving it a try for the team. But let's just say he goes out there, he's injured, and he gets tackled and gets hit on that knee or falls on that knee and gets hurt worse. What's Baltimore going to do then? Are they going to give him his money because he deserves it? Because he got out there and gave it an old try for the team? Are they going to give him his money, or are they going to use that against him? Because if I know negotiations like I know negotiations, ain't nobody just giving you nothing because you tried. In fact, they're going to do the exact opposite. And you're going to say, but I gave it my all. I tried for the team. And they were like, yeah, but, you know, this is business. So hell no, I wouldn't go out there if I'm Lamar Jackson. And if I'm Lamar Jackson, I probably won't even show up to the game. I'd be watching it from the crib. And I'd be tweeting out, give me my damn money after the loss. Because the Baltimore Ravens have basically spit in this young man's face, in my opinion. They don't give him any help. They make him the entire offense. And then you don't want to pay him? Hell no, I ain't going out there. Nah, bro, you got it.
Commissioner Gordon.
Since we talking playoffs, man, let's go ahead and get out here. Since we talking playoffs, I'll start with that very one. I'll start with the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. They're set for Sunday night at 8:15 on NBC. Easy. I just told you. Bengals win. There's no Lamar Jackson. There's no offense. You can count, since Lamar's been injured, on three or four fingers maybe, how many touchdowns offensively the Baltimore Ravens have scored without Lamar Jackson being in there. I think it's only like three, maybe four. I don't know if they scored one that last game. But it's only been about three touchdowns. I may be off by one. So, yeah, they don't have a chance, because you can't keep up scoring with Cincinnati in Cincinnati. So, like I said, Lamar Jackson for the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Bengals run it up. I just talked about this one. The Miami Dolphins at Buffalo. This game takes place on Sunday at 1 o'clock on CBS. I mean, do I have to even tell you? Buffalo wins. It's at Buffalo. There's no tour for Miami. I don't even think Teddy Bridgewater is suiting up. So, you're playing with the backup, and Tyreek Hill is banged up. I think Waddle is banged up. Yeah, man. Go ahead. Circle the wagons, as they would say. What's my boy Berman would say? The Bills will circle the wagons and take out the Miami Dolphins. Also in the AFC, I got the LA Chargers playing the Jacksonville Jaguars Saturday night at 8:15 on NBC. Whew, this is a tough matchup, man. I don't know. Like, the Chargers have won five of the last seven games, but seemed like everybody got hurt in the last game. I think Bosa got hurt. Mike Williams hurt his back. I think they had a linebacker get hurt also, hurt his ankle or something like that. Everybody got hurt, and the coach came under fire because clearly they didn't need to be out there. You know, they didn't need to be out there, but everybody got hurt. But I think Mike Williams is the only one listed on the injury list. I think Bosa, you know, has been out and been practicing. I think Mike Williams with his back is the only one that's been on the injury list this week. But then on the other hand, man, you got Jacksonville. Jacksonville has been on fire. Like, I think they've won like the last five games of the season. So I don't know. This is a pick'em game to me. And it's shown, because I think Vegas has it as, I think they have the Chargers as maybe a 1.5-point favorite. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, and they're playing at Jacksonville. So, you know, that's, you get a couple points for being at home. So it's almost just like a pick'em game. Like, you can flip a coin. This is probably one of the most evenly matched games that we'll probably have during the playoffs, especially in the AFC, because, like I said, no Tua, no Lamar Jackson. I don't think those are going to be contested games. I think this is going to be a good game on Saturday. But, like I said, I'm not really sold on Trevor Lawrence, man. I don't know if he's the crowned prince that they've made him out to be, and everyone seems to be, oh, look at Trevor, he's a great quarterback. We know he's destined for greatness. Well, you don't know, because a lot of those games that they won haven't been because Trevor took them there. There was a couple games where he only threw for 150 yards. There was a couple games where he may have had right at 200 yards. He hasn't been the guy for Jacksonville. They've been a great team. They've been performing as a team. So, I'm not sold on him. I'm not sold on Jacksonville because, I mean, in terms of Jacksonville, you've got to prove it to me. You know how I get down, man. I don't just jump on a bandwagon just because. You got to prove it to me. And this way may be step one of Jacksonville proving it for to me because I'm not going to pick them. I'm going with the Chargers. I'm not really sold on the Chargers either. But I'm rolling with the Chargers just for the simple fact that I believe in Justin Herbert more than I believe in Trevor Lawrence. So there you go. There you have it. I'm going in the AFC. I'm going Buffalo. I'm going Cincinnati. And I'm going with the Chargers. In the NFC, I think these are probably much better games than the AFC. I didn't mention before, but Kansas City has the bye week, if in case you know you're not really paying attention. Like, Kansas City didn't make the playoffs? Yes, Kansas City made the playoffs, but they were awarded the bye week in the AFC, so they don't have to play the first round. And in the NFC, the Philadelphia Eagles have the bye week. They're, to me, probably clearly the best team in the NFC. And I think without a doubt they deserve earning that bye week. But we'll start off first with the Seattle Seahawks at the San Francisco 49ers, which is taking place Saturday at 4:30 on Fox. I'll take the 49ers in this one, even with Purdy. You know what I'm saying? I just think that the 49ers have more talent than the Seattle Seahawks. I think it's a great run for what they did in terms of with Geno and Pete Carroll. I think they did something special just getting to the playoffs. But overall, San Francisco just has more talent across the board, all over the field. Like, to prove it to you, San Francisco's won like the last 10 straight games. You know what I'm saying? With Christian McCaffrey, with Brandon Ayuk, with just, you can go down the list and start talking about all the talent that San Francisco has. And that's the only reason I need for them to beat the Seattle Seahawks. It's talent. Talent wins in this league. So give me the San Francisco 49ers. In the next game in the NFC, you have the New York Giants at the Minnesota Vikings. And man, this is a prove-it game for Kirk Cousins. This is one of those games that's going to be a real mark for in his career, because if the Vikings lose in the opening round of the playoffs, you're going to hear all the pundits come out and say, oh, I told you, you can't win with Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins ain't the quarterback to lead you to a Super Bowl. And all these naysayers, they love to come out. I've been hearing it all season, and I don't know whether you can win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins, but I don't think he's trash. Like, I think he's an average quarterback. Average quarterbacks have won the Super Bowl before. And when you pair him up with Justin Jefferson, whew, they can catch fire. Like, you'll look up, and Justin Jefferson will have 275 receiving yards, 2-3 touchdowns. There's no thing for that. 12, 13 receptions. You know what I'm saying? There's no thing for that. And that's what I'm assuming will happen. They're playing in Minnesota. And I'm assuming that's going to happen. And no, I'm not going to give the Giants any credit. The Giants really haven't looked like a real playoff contender for the entire season. They just haven't felt real to me all season. Like, I didn't watch a Giants game and think to myself, phew, they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs. I still look at Daniel Jones and I think that this dude can't play. He has his moments, but I think he holds on to the ball entirely too long. And these are going to be the times where it's going to show up. Like, Minnesota's defense isn't the greatest, but they'll make you pay. So, like I said, I like Minnesota. I like Justin Jefferson. I like Dalvin Cook. I think Minnesota's going to do a lot. So I think the Vikings will win this one in a shootout. And last but not least, we have the Dallas Cowboys taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which takes place on Monday night at 8:15 on ESPN, ABC, ESPN2, because you know they do all the shit with the Manning cast and all that other stuff. Look, man, Tampa Bay got a losing record. And we typically you have teams with a losing record in the playoffs. It happens. But not division winners. Tampa Bay was the product of a trash-ass division. The NFC South sucked. The Falcons sucked. I mean, you say 7-10, but yes, the Falcons sucked. The Saints sucked. Carolina sucks. And Tampa sucks. But somebody had to win. So Tampa Bay, 8-9, win the division, and they're hosting a playoff game. But like I said, I'm not impressed. Tampa Bay lost to the 49ers. They lost to the Bengals. Then they beat Arizona and Carolina before finally getting out here in the last game and quitting against Atlanta. Tom Brady got hit one good time, and it was like, all right, we got home field locked up for the first round. We'll just go ahead and pull the plug on this. But I think, like I was talking about before with Kirk Cousins, I think Dak has to use this as a motivator and as a prove it game, because you got all these other, like it's just with Kirk Cousins, you got all these folks who will sit here and say you can't win with Dak. You can't do it. Dak ain't the guy. And if Dak can keep the turnovers down, I believe that Dallas can win this game, because I just told you, I think Tampa Bay is trash. But these guys, Tampa Bay can step up. Like, I know you're not supposed to bet against Tom Brady, especially in the playoffs, in big games. But I think that it's over with for Tampa Bay. Like, I hear more about where Tom Brady will be next year as opposed to Tampa Bay and Tom Brady moving on to the second round. I don't hear anybody talking about them moving to the second round unless you know, Skip Bayless or somebody. I don't hear anybody talking about them moving to the second round. I hear rumors about him going to Las Vegas. I hear rumors about him going to Miami. Not going to the second round, though. So it's going to be a good game. You know what I'm saying? I think Mike Evans is ready to play. I don't know what the hell Julio is going to do, but it's going to be a good game. I look for a big game from Tony Pollard. I don't know what the hell Zeke is going to do. You know, Zeke has been playing pretty decent, but they have to let Zeke do what he can do and not try to get too crazy with what Zeke is. Zeke is one of those guys where I think we are looking at the end. We'll touch on that. We can touch on that either next week. We can touch on that either during the offseason when I tell you that, you know, Dallas needs to be looking for a running back. But I think Zeke is at the end. The Zeke that you know and love, that was hurdling folks, that was wearing the crop top shirts with the six pack hanging out, that Zeke is gone. Zeke got enough power that he can run up in between the tackles for 2 yards and steal Tony Pollard's touchdowns, just like he been doing. I say that as a guy who had Pollard and watched Zeke do that shit over and over again. I was like, man, damn, Tony just ran Pollard just ran a whole ripped off a 25-yard run and happened to get caught by a DB or pushed out of bounds or, you know what I'm saying, tackled it like the one or the two. And then Zeke come in and steal the touchdown. I'm sorry. I moved over. I digress. Like, I go back. But if Dak can keep the play, if Dak can keep the turnovers down, I like Dallas in this game. Once again, I know you're not supposed to bet against Tom Brady. Everybody tell you about the GOAT. But you know what? I like Dallas. It'll be good to see them move on to the next round for once.
Commissioner Gordon.
Once again, man, thank you for tuning in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? If you have any questions, you got any comments, you want to holler at your boy, feel free to tap in. Again, I'm at Commissioner Gordon Robinson on Facebook. I'm at the.commissioner.gordon on Instagram and G Robinson Sports on Twitter. Follow me, comment. I put a bunch of stuff. Like I said, I pride myself on making pretty good stories, so my stories is always filled up. I try to keep you in tune with all the news that's going on in sports and in pop culture. You know what I'm saying? So holler at your boy. Again, this has been the Commissioner's Conversation. Until next week, I'll holler.